Have granted petitions allowing Luka Doncic and Cade Cunningham to be eligible for end-of-season awards despite neither appearing in the required 65 games. Doncic played 64 games but missed two to be present for the birth of his child. Cunningham played in 63 games but missed 12 because of a collapsed lung. Front office sports reports that the NFL and YouTube have entered in a long-form contract review for an exclusive five-game package. YouTube previously televised last season's Week 1 game between the Chiefs and Chargers in Brazil. In Major League Baseball right now, the Yankees lead the Angels 3-2 in the bottom of the fourth inning. Aaron Judge, his eighth home run of the season, his fifth at home run in a 15-at-bat span. Giancarlo Stanton, a two-run home run, his second home run of the season.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, other than the higher-than-expected wheat stocks, not many surprises in the April World Ag supply and demand estimates from USDA. The 2025-26 wheat outlook is for slightly higher supplies, marginally lower domestic use, unchanged exports, and higher ending stocks. The season average wheat price rose a nickel to $5. Corn is unchanged, with the season average corn price also up 5 cents at $4.15 per bushel, and soybeans are forecast at $10.30 a bushel, up 10 cents. The Dairy Calf and Heifer Association's annual conference and trade show revolved around the theme Connect, Collaborate, and Cultivate, held in Tucson April 7th through the 9th. The event drew nearly 350 members from 20 states and 8 countries. Attendees learned about workforce development, certification and auditing, artificial intelligence for dairy calf management, alternative forages for heifers, calf milk replacer formulation trends, metrics for heifer growth, health and reproduction, and cattle transportation. And in the wake of a two-week ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran, what does that mean for fertilizer prices? Farm Progress says the deal does include a commitment from Iran to allow the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, but that doesn't mean fertilizer shipments immediately start. Even with the strait technically open, Farm Progress reports cargo may face delays and elevated war risks, so normal trade resumption could take weeks or months.
Hello, this is Brian Gill. I would like to invite you to the annual Gilroad Angus Spring Bull and Commercial Replacement Heifer Sale on April 22nd at the ranch near Timberlake, South Dakota. We will be selling 100 yearling and age advantage bulls and 180 commercial replacement heifers. Our sale catalog and videos are online at gilroadangus.com. We spent all fall and winter bidding on and buying thousands of our customers' calves, and we understand what works in the commercial cattle industry. You can watch and bid on the Gilroad Angus sale online at dvauction.com.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how are you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks reversing earlier losses and are slightly higher, with the NASDAQ and S&P 500 on track for fresh record closes as investors continue to parse earnings results while remaining upbeat on Iran diplomacy hopes. Tech is gaining and lifting the tech-heavy NASDAQ, which is on track for its 12th straight session of gains. And QVC Group, parent company of shopping channels QVC and HSN, is planning to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and has a restructuring plan with key lenders and sees the business turning around in 90 days. days and will continue to operate during the process. And Walmart is expanding its digital health platform's weight loss offerings, including prescribing GLP-1s. Customers can now connect to third-party providers for weight loss management services and then turn around and fill GLP-1 prescriptions at Walmart's retail pharmacy. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You didn't want to buy gold when prices were rising. Then you waited when gold pulled back. Now you're stuck in the middle, unsure what to do next. Speak with a precious metal specialist now at NobleGoldInvestments.com. Get the answers you need to stop guessing and move forward with confidence. Their team makes it simple to gain real investor knowledge and insight. Stop trying to time the market. Start spending time in it. Don't let the market move without you. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Students from the countries of Western Europe are risking imprisonment in the Soviet Gulag for the cause of human rights. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Recently, National Review magazine presented an article by Lennart Frenzel that revealed how much idealism there is in the world and exposed how much hypocrisy there is behind the Iron Curtain. The author gives an accounting of young students and others from France, Belgium, Norway, Finland, and other countries of Western Europe who journey to Russia as tourists. These particular tourists, however, aren't interested in sightseeing. They smuggle in books and leaflets, which they then openly hand to Russians on the streets. These are books the Russians are forbidden to read, such as the writings of Solzhenitsyn. Invariably, the book-distributing tourists are arrested. One young Belgian girl handing out lists of political prisoners' names was seized by KGB agents so quickly she could only throw the leaflets in the air before she was arrested. Now, the Soviet Constitution guarantees freedom of speech, but like the Helsinki Pact, the Russian government doesn't feel obliged to observe it. Nevertheless, Soviet officialdom is taking its lumps and is very uncomfortable in the face of these tourists who argue back with full knowledge of their legal rights and the terms of the Helsinki Pact. Listen to this exchange between a 22-year-old French girl and the two KGB officers who arrested her. The question, and quote, "Are you a member of a political party?" "Yes." "What does your father do?" "He's a politician." "Does he have a high position?" "High enough." "Does your father know of your trip to the USSR?" "Yes, of course." "Well, both you and he know that it's forbidden to bring books into the USSR." "Really? But why? To our country, for example, one can bring in any books. In our country, people have the right to read anything." "Well, this isn't Belgium, but the USSR." "Well, how does the USSR differ from Belgium?" "We want our nation to think according to our ideology." "You are really naive people. Do you really believe that 250 million people will think the way you want them to think?" Unquote. The KGB agents didn't have an answer to that one. All they could say was, "It is forbidden to bring in books. You may get 10 years for it." To which she replied, "I know. We already packed some things in case we would have to go to camp." The smugglers have the help of the Russian emigre organization and contacts in the Soviet Union who helped pass the literature along. Leaflets have appeared in cities and towns far distant from Moscow, and books are regularly circulated among dissident intellectuals in Moscow. A Mr. Sokolov, a member of the section in charge of the confiscated books, was arrested a couple of years ago for selling those books to black market dealers. He hasn't been heard from since, but the smuggling goes on, And significantly, the Russian people show a great eagerness to get their hands on the forbidden literature. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And Cal Coast News, every major fraud arrest that's happened with the federal government in the last 10 years, probably 20 years, started with an investigation by Cal Coast News that was later picked up by federal agents. You have Kelly Gearhart. You have the issue with Dayspring. You have Adam Hill and Ryan Petetit and John Belcher. All those investigations started through Cal Coast News and were later picked up by federal officials, and in each case there have been indictments. Today we are going to get into the political realm, and we are going to have U.S. Congressional 24th District candidate Bob Smith on the show. We spoke to him a while back, but I'm having him back. We're getting closer to the election now. Bob, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. Bob, I want to start. Can you start by telling us a little bit about your background and who you are?
Sure. So I grew up in the Philadelphia area of Pennsylvania. I grew up in a lower income family. I lived most of my teenage life with my grandmother. And then when I was 18 years old, I enlisted into the United States Navy. I served as an enlisted for about 8 years. I was an electronics technician, basically, on a weapons system in the Navy. I was selected for a program called Seaman to Admiral, which then commissions the top 100 enlisted people in the Navy as an officer. So they send you to any college of your choice, get any degree of your choice, and then they commission you as an officer. So I went and got an engineering degree and then commissioned as an officer and kind of went right back to ships in charge of the same people that I used to be. Now, my first half of my career, I was operational, so I deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, you know, all the fun places of the world. Spent lots of time in the Strait of Hormuz, so we can talk about Iran if we get to it. A lot of time there. The last half of my career, though, I was an acquisition professional in Washington, D.C. So I went to get a master's degree in systems engineering. It's basically the Navy's core of engineers. And the Corps of Engineers in the Navy basically run all the programs. So we're formally trained in the process of Washington, D.C., legislative affairs, getting items into the budget. And to put it in layman's terms, what that job does is to say one of our adversaries has a new threat or a missile or whatever, we take those requirements from the fleet, we go bring them to Washington, D.C., we turn it into a program, and then we go work the development on that until we develop whatever the military needs for that problem, whether it's a new ship or a new radar or a new missile. So that's kind of what I did in the last half of my career. So although I've never been political before because I just retired last year after almost 27 years, I am a professional in the Washington, D.C. process. So let me just get to my family. That brings me to why I'm here in California. So when I was on a ship in San Diego, a guy that I was serving with on the ship kind of asked me what I was doing for Thanksgiving or in the early 2000s. And I didn't really have plenty plans because I didn't live here in California. I wasn't from California. I just was on my first ship in California as an officer. And he brought me home to Carpinteria. And that's where I met his cousin, who is now my wife. And we've been married almost 20 years. But that's what got me to Carpinteria initially.
And how do you like living in California?
So, well, I think that there's all the things that everybody loves, right? So we love the weather. We love what California offers. I mean, it's one of the greatest states when you know, if you take politics out of it, it's one of the greatest states that anyone could possibly live in. I mean, you could pretty much do anything that you want to do in California. I mean, you can go to the beach in the day, you can ski at night. I mean, it's just, it has every kind of biome and every activity and everything that you would ever want to do in a state. So I absolutely love California as a state. I think that our politics is pretty poor here and is sort of ruining it, which is, you know, why I'm running for office to try to make some change here. But other than that, I think it's a great state. Now, I'll be honest with you. It was challenging to move here coming out of the military and retiring because California is the only state left in the United States that fully taxes military retirement. There are 38 states that don't tax it at all. There are, the rest of the 11 states give some kind of benefit. Now, California just passed that you do get the first couple thousand tax-free now this year. But until then, it was fully taxed in military retirement. And you have state taxes. So if you're a military person getting out in California, it's really hard to start your life from scratch as a 40-some-year-old that has a full family and you don't really have equity anywhere because you're moved around the planet every 3 years. So for military people, it's really hard to stay in California. We have more retiring military veterans than any state in the United States, and 98% leave the state because of that. Because if you move to Texas or Tennessee or Florida, you go a lot further in being able to start a life at, you know, a mid-40-year-old with a family.
Well, lower cost of living and a higher income, it would be very appealing to many people. So yeah, what would you do? So you're running because of, what are the primary reasons you're running? And then we'll ask what you'll change about those reasons.
Yeah, so let me start it off first. I did not have aspirations to be a career politician. So I went down to the party and asked, hey, who are the good candidates you have? Because I would like to help them out and so that we can get some change here. And the reason that I want change here is because I want my children to be able to have a future here. And, you know, my son is 11, my daughter's away in college, but I just feel like we're getting to a point here where people's kids are just not going to have a future here the way we're going. Major companies are leaving California, 500 since 2018. If you look at any kind of chart, Silicon Valley will be in Austin, Texas in the next 3 years if we don't get things reversed. The cost of living is completely unaffordable. I mean, especially down here in like South Coast, Santa Barbara, the average cost of a house is approaching $2 million, right, in South Coast. If you add the whole county in, you're somewhere around $1.1 million. I mean, if you just look at that, an average person, you know, there's no starter homes. There's no way that anybody's going to graduate here with college debt, you know, buy into some equity in a home, have a future here. It's just not happening. That was part of the impetus for me running. And, you know, there's a few issues there that I really think that we have to address, right? So affordability is definitely one of them, right? So it's unaffordable to live here. The cost of housing is really high. There are two major reasons why affordability is so bad here in California. And the two biggest reasons are overregulation and energy costs. Now, there's a whole bunch of other reasons underneath that, but those two are the ones that are causing this place to be so unaffordable. That's my first one. Education is my second one. We are now only, kids graduating our high schools are now only 35% of them are meeting standards of 12th grade in high school. And in fact, that is tracking with every grade as you go down in standardized testing in the state. And so we now have states like Mississippi who are reading better than California, and they spend one-third per student than California does. So, you know, I don't want to hear any more elitists here in California about our education when Mississippi is now reading better than us, right? So we've got to fix that in education. The next thing I'll go to is energy and water. So I already said this about energy is affecting affordability, but our grid is fragile here. And as a systems engineer, this is something where I have the expertise to fix and put in good solutions. We're in a fragile grid here. We've made bad policy decisions on energy. We're paying a third more than most states in energy, which is why companies are leaving. My company, I work for a defense tech company. We've moved all of our data servers out of state. We've moved most of our equipment out of state. We don't really want to hire another human in California. And we have, I think, 300-ish employees in California. We get a third of the energy cost in Austin, Texas, and Orlando, Florida. So those are just better places for a business to, do better business. Water is in that same vein, right? We haven't built a reservoir in California since 1953. We haven't finished one since then. We have one working on right now in Sacramento. But, we just had two rainy years this last 2 years, and we watched all the water go right back into the ocean. So these are kind of my top three, but we can keep going. There's a lot of issues here that we just need to fix in California because these underlying issues are causing most of the problems in California.
And let's say you get elected. Let's go over some questions. You've been elected. What would you do to make housing more affordable?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things that we can do. And I'm going to start let's start with housing really quick. So there's things that we can do from the federal government. We can get interest rates locked down for first-time home buyers and primary home buyers. That wouldn't affect inflation or anything at all. It would be a drop of bucket in the water with all of that. So there's things that we can do there from the federal government to help people actually get into homes. We can do first-time home buying assistance. Really, the problem is supply. I would actually look at some federal lands here in California and say, hey, are there some federal areas in the state of California that we can open up to getting some housing done? I think something like 94% of the state of California is undeveloped. So if you even did 1% more, you wouldn't even notice that anywhere, and it would add millions of more homes, and you would add them in areas that are not causing problems, right, where you don't have the water necessarily, or you are adding traffic problems. So I'm not necessarily for high-density infill, but there are other places. So think about as you drive up the 5 or 101 or any of these areas, all these old military bases and stuff that just have dilapidated barracks on them that aren't being used anymore, why don't we repurpose some of that, right? There's a bunch of things we can do here without affecting agricultural lands or ranches or federal forests, right?
And that is a very interesting solution, would be to go to the barracks and maybe make senior housing or type of housing that you don't have to worry about having business nearby for jobs. What would you do for education? If you win and you could do anything you want, how would you try to fix our education system?
So the education's hard, right? Because from a federal side, right, I don't have direct impact to the school districts and stuff that's funded through the state, right? But what I can do is I kind of believe in the rising tide lifts all boats methodology. And if I can give you two examples. If you look at Huntsville, Alabama, or you look at Los Alamos, New Mexico, you have two states there where education has not typically been ranked high in the rest of the state. But you go to those two areas, and the schools there are 10 out of 10 grade schools, right? You have PhD, candidate students coming out of those areas. Why is that? And it's because you have a heavy federal investment into those areas of NASA in Huntsville, a lot of space stuff, a lot of defense. And in Los Alamos, New Mexico, you have a national laboratory there in Los Alamos above Santa Fe. So when we look at our area here and we look at what we're actually investing in, and I don't want to add more tax dollars, I just want to bring some of our tax dollars back to improve our area. So we are some of the highest taxed people in the entire country because our average salary tips above the 22% federal tax bracket, right? So most states, their average income is below that. It's in the 12% tax bracket. So we are paying more dollars into the federal government here. Now, our cost of living is much higher, which doesn't help, right? Because, when you get into those kind of poverty discussions, you look at other states that are lower income, but it's lower cost of living. But here, we have a higher cost of living, so it doesn't really balance out where we're doing better than other states. So what I want to do as a congressman is bring more of our funding back home. I believe that's what a representative's job is. It's one of them, is to bring resources back home to your district of your tax dollars you already paid. So I would like to look at places like UCSB and Allen Hancock and Cal Poly and say, hey, look, what ties do you have from STEM and internships and programs that you're running into our local schools, right, into our local economy, into internships with jobs. And I believe that that would lift the tide there for all of our high schools, right? If we had both industry that was successful here tied to our universities that's doing with successful programs in all these different fields that are tied directly to programs. So you don't want to throw money into a black hole, but you want to tie it to requirements that then benefits the local schools, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. And it's amazing how far our education system has fallen in the last 40 years.
The question there is what happened to Democrats? So the Democrat Party used to be people that valued themselves on education, right? That was one of their things, right? The Democrat Party used to stand for, if we talk about the JFK and the Clinton Party, they used to stand for things like a healthy middle class, right? Good education for middle class people that can't afford private schools and are sending their kids to quality public schools. And I feel like whatever the base of the Democrat Party here is now is no longer the Democrat Party and no longer stands for those kind of things.
And I'm gonna change the topic for another issue and ask you how you feel about it and what you would do to fix it.
Yep.
Obviously, immigration issues are a major point of strife in this country. You have immigrants in some cases who are suffering, and then you have immigrants that are not, you know, the undocumented immigrants who are here and a large, I've talked to law enforcement. In this area, the crime with undocumented immigrants is way up. We had 5 murders last year, and only one of the murder suspects was a citizen of the U.S. The rest were all undocumented immigrants. In San Luis Obispo County, our average is 0 to 3. 5 is huge for this county. And to have them all, the one group, the other thing is sexual assaults are massively, they're way more, and child molestation is very often tied to the undocumented immigrants. Immigrants who are documented, immigrants here with a green card, they rarely commit any crimes at all. Their crime level is probably lower than citizens. So it's a very different thing. You got citizens, documented immigrants, and undocumented immigrants. And what are your thoughts on immigration, and what would you do to make it better?
Yeah, so this is going to be where the systems engineering me. I just tackle problems in kind of the approach of first down. Like, this is football. If I give you a football analogy, I think in like terms of like, let's get a first down, then let's get the next first down, then let's get the next first down, right? And, you know, instead of trying to get a Hail Mary touchdown on every play. And so I look at what's going on here with immigration in California, and I just say, okay, what is actually the start of the problem here? The state and the federal government are completely opposed to each other, 180 degrees out, right? So the last 4 years we had uncontrolled borders, which is not good. We should not have anybody in this country that we don't know who they are or why they're here or have been vetted, right? So there should be a process that everyone's going through to be here. So that's the first down, right? The border's secured, the border's shut down. So we stop there. The next first down we have to get here is we don't want these violent criminals here. So it's terrible right now that our sheriff can't even turn over a violent criminal. And I've met with all the sheriffs in the counties. I've talked to them, had discussions about what they have to do with this. Sheriff in Ventura County will tell you, he'll give you stories of picking people up. He has to pick people up he picks someone up for a nonviolent crime. But they are a violent criminal who has already served time in San Quentin, whatever, already been deported multiple times, and they pick them up for a nonviolent crime, like, say, a DUI. He has to bring that person to Ventura because that's the only prison where he has a hospital, medical facilities. So no matter where he picks them up, whether it's on the L.A. side or whatever, he has to bring them there. So he brings them there. He is not allowed to do a turnover of that person, so because the only thing they have on them right now is a nonviolent crime. So they run fingerprints, and if the federal authorities see that fingerprints were ran, they have time to get down there, they can drive up and re-tackle the person in the parking lot. So what this causes, if they do get there in time, then we have an issue in the parking lot there, which just happened in Santa Barbara's prison and made news, and everyone, makes a big deal out of it. And then If they don't get there in time, that person walks into the neighborhood. So the next thing that's happening is now ICE is in a line of people going around the neighborhood looking for this violent criminal. And I think that we would all agree, I think most common sense people would agree that, one, we don't want to release violent criminals.
Hey, I'm gonna stop you for just a moment. We'll finish this conversation when we get back after a word from our sponsors.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real, Atascadero, and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have Bob Smith. He's running for U.S. Congress. Bob, when we took our break, you were talking about the issues with violent criminals and sheriffs unable to have them deported if they have not done a violent crime that put them into jail at that time.
Yeah, so we have zero bail for nonviolent crimes. So back to where we were saying. So now the sheriff's picked up this person. They shouldn't be here. They're already a previously convicted violent criminal. They've already served time. They've already been deported twice, whatever the answer is. And now they have to let them go. And the federal authorities now have to show up and re-tackle this person in the parking lot. If they don't make it in time, that person's released into the neighborhood. And now you have this, you know, these ICE, you know, large groups going around neighborhoods looking for this violent criminal who's now released into it. And I think that we would all agree on a few things. One, we should not be releasing violent criminals into our neighborhoods. So at this point, the sanctuary SB 54 law is doing nothing other than protecting violent criminals. And those violent criminals are mostly terrorizing the immigrant neighborhoods themselves. So it's not really protecting anybody. The second thing that I think that we would all agree on from a common sense perspective, nobody wants armored vehicles going down their streets where their kids are playing. And so we just need to make this make sense. Right, so we should be able to turn over criminals, and that makes all the sense in the world at the prison where it's safer for everybody, including the sheriffs, including the prison, including our neighborhoods, including the person who's being reapprehended. So it just makes no sense that we have to go to that. So that's the first thing I would do is criminals need to be able to be turned over. So the next thing that I would say needs fixed is the migratory visa process. So I've talked to both farmers in Texas and in here, in California, and the process has too much red tape. So they get workers. If you follow the process, it definitely costs more money, but then you wind up getting workers late. You have to go through this entire bureaucratic process that the government's laid on them. And in general, I am we need to get rid of regulations. We have way too many, and this process has way too many as well. And we need to make this simpler for people to get the workforce that they need in our agriculture. You know, a farmer in Texas told me, I'm happy to pay American workers to come down here. I'm paying union rates, so it's a good job, but I'm just not getting the workers. Now, in California, we have the opposite. Because we're a sanctuary state, we don't have to follow any of the migratory visa laws. So then a lot of people don't, and they go straight to the underground economy to short-circuit the red tape. And, you know, neither one of these are a good answer, so I don't know. How about we just do this? How about we stop listening to lawyers and Congress making all this regulation and law? And how about we listen to farmers tell us exactly what they need and then craft the legislation to what the farmers need to be successful? It just seems easy and basic and common sense to me.
And I agree that they with you very much that they need to have a way to apply for visas and a way to become citizens that is something that people can navigate. It is a difficult yeah. process. I had a woman on yesterday, and she's an American-born citizen, and she married a man who was here legally, but he was here with a green card and had been going to try to get citizen, but after they got married, he didn't initially apply. They had children. They ended up having 8 children, but they... one of the children was molested, and the child didn't tell because the person molesting the child warned the child, all of your dad deported. I know he's not a citizen, and your dad will leave. So the daughter didn't tell. And I do know that there are people that are really afraid. They're mixing it up. They're mixing up when they're trying to take out somebody that's been deported multiple times, who has a serious criminal history, with the person that's lived here since they were 10 years old and is a legal resident. They have a green card. They have the ability to legally be here. And they have to find a way to take the fear out of the migrant community.
Yeah, I agree. And we made this complicated, and we bogged down courts, especially with asylum. And I've personally handled asylum claims because we get them overseas when we're in the military. But we've made that difficult. We've got courts that are backed up for 5 to 7 years. The process is kind of cumbersome because of that. We need to completely overhaul asylum. Asylum was meant for political refugees. It was not meant for, you know, where I came from is worse than California. I'd rather be here, and I wait in a process for 7 years. And then people who are legitimately trying to do the process the right way, they're bogged down, and it gets too cumbersome, right? So I think that, you know, we do need to clean all this up. But, again, I start in this world of, you know, first downs first, right? If we can't figure out in California how to transfer criminals, we are never going to get to these gray areas, right, that are a little bit more nuanced, right? So that's where we have to start at. We have to start at being able to have a process that works in removing criminals from our neighborhoods and our country. And if we can't get there, we're not going to get to the harder stuff.
Bob, we're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with more with Bob Smith.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.